Oh, it's so good to be here, to be with you all. Every one of you, because you live in this fallen world, experience suffering of some sort or troubles of some sort. Every one of you go through storms. Every one of us do. Jesus promised. Josh quoted one of those verses in John 16, that in this world, you will have tribulation. And again, that word, tribulation, sometimes is translated tests, temptation, trials. And so Jesus promised, you can put that on a magnet and stick it on your refrigerator door, that in this world, you're going to have tribulation. For us, often as Christians, we've been tricked into believing that if we just pray that things will always go well, they will. Or if we'll just live righteous enough life, things will always go well. But that's not what the Bible says. In Matthew 14, which we'll look at in a few minutes, when Jesus came to the disciples walking on the water, like at 3 o'clock in the morning, it was a storm going on. And Jesus had seen them from a distance where he was praying. And he saw that they were struggling with the boat because of the waves and the wind. So in the darkness, he came to them walking on the water. But the interesting thing is that Jesus didn't calm the water and then walk on the water. He walked on storm, because everything Jesus does speaks truth to us. So again, he didn't calm the waters so he could walk on the waters. He came to them walking on stormy waters, walking through violent wind and violent waves. And when Peter said to him, Lord, if it's you, invite me to come to you. And Jesus said to him, come. Now, Peter walked on water for a moment, or he walked on water enough to where when he started to sink, when he got his eyes off of Jesus and began to look at the waves, it says when he saw the wind, he was seeing what the wind was doing. He got his eyes off Christ, he became afraid. And as he began to sink, he cried out for help. He was close enough to Jesus to where Jesus could just reach out and take him. So it wasn't like he had just walked a couple of little baby steps. He had been walking on water. Not just walking on water, but walking on stormy water. And he was so close. Because Jesus said, he said, Jesus, if it's you, invite me to come to you. You know, when the whole scene was over, after he picked Peter up so he wouldn't drown, and he said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And I'm thinking, he's the only guy I know that's ever walked on water other than Jesus. I mean, shouldn't he have been congratulated for that? And I'm sure that Christ was pleased with him for that. But you see, Peter had said, Lord, if it's you, invite me to come to you. And when Jesus said, come, the word he stepped out on was he was going to come to Jesus. And if he had just kept his eyes on Jesus, he'd have made it all the way. Some of you are walking through some stormy places. Storms have great value for the Christian, because only there can Jesus teach us how to walk at a supernatural level we've never known to walk before. Not on calm waters, but he'll walk on top of stormy waters. Again, Jesus didn't calm the waters and walk on them. He overcame the waters by walking on top of them. That's why he said, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so overcomers aren't always those who can make the storms go away. They're the ones who can walk on water when the storm doesn't go away. But the temptation of the enemy, there's all kind of stuff he does, is to so distract you from the truth that just before you're going to reach the place where the word promised, you fall into unbelief and sink. There are some things that God has spoken to you, and you've been walking on that for a long time, but you get tempted to give up because it's been just stormy. But you know, one of the things that happens when you walk on stormy waters, in Jesus' story with Jesus, every step, Peter was moving closer and closer to Jesus. God uses the storms to teach us how to walk supernaturally, to be overcomers. Because in this world, you're going to have tribulation. And the enemy's out to get us to sink. But there's just some things you can't learn. He doesn't waste anything. Christ doesn't. There's just some things you can't learn apart from walking supernaturally through storms. That's where you learn to be an overcomer. And every step of the way, you grow in Christ-likeness. you get closer and closer to manifesting that image. It's the school of Christ. It's the graduate course. It's the Jan term. It's the place of acceleration. Romans 5 says this, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. That's a good thing to exult in hope with, right? The glory of God. I'm going to see the glory of God here. Didn't Jesus say to Martha and Mary, if you'll just believe, you'll see the glory of God? And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about faith that has muscle, enduring faith. And enduring faith, proven Christ-likeness. And proven Christ-likeness, a heart full of hope. Because as you walk through stuff, and you're exalting in the glory of God that you know that's going to be manifested in this, right? For you have died, your life is hidden with Christ and God, and when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, you'll be revealed with Him in glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you only believe, you'll see the glory of God. So you just keep moving through the storm supernaturally because your eyes are on Christ. You're walking through stuff you could never walk through before. There's no explanation for it. Because you're not just exulting in hope of the glory, you're also exulting in the tribulation. Because every step you get closer to Christ's likeness. Every step you get, which is really the goal, right? Isn't that our calling? Christ-likeness? You know, the Lord had a word last week, a prophetic word about He's teaching His body the narrow way. This way of life that Jesus lives, and this way of life, this narrow way, leads to life. He says there's a broad way where you can just continue to rationalize hanging on to all kinds of junk in your heart and your mind. He said it leads to destruction. So to see the narrow way, if you hear it wrongly, it seems so restrictive. Like, that doesn't sound like much fun. But the narrow way is Jesus. It's the Jesus life. And it always leads to life. You're not missing out on anything. It's except destruction, self-destruction. It leads to life. There's just stuff you can't carry with you. It's just too narrow. You got to be willing to let go of. This is James chapter 1. Now listen. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when, not if, but when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, which is faith that has stamina. Let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. Well, Colossians 2 says that you have been made complete in Christ. But various trials, the storms, learning to walk on water, not just water, but stormy water. Anybody can walk on classy water, but stormy water, it'll result in all that completeness that's yours in Christ being unpacked into your experience. You keep moving towards Christ-likeness. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, now what he's about to say, you better start off with the word beloved. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though something strange were happening to you. Anybody have anything strange going on in their life lately? Last week when I came and I fell up the steps, I thought, when I got home, I thought, that may be the strangest thing I've ever experienced. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. It's powerful. And then James chapter 5, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon Him, because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to destroy. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished, not endured, but being accomplished. In the midst of storms, something important is being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will Himself mature, confirm, strengthen, and establish you, Christlikeness. This is Matthew chapter 7. All right, doing good. By the way, I was really tempted to go up the steps. I know I could have done the steps today, but I'm being smart. And then Amelia is the one who said, don't go up the steps next week. Put your chair down here. Okay. Thank you, Amelia. Therefore, Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, every one of you hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house. Yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock, which is Jesus, of course. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now here's the thing I want you to see. The flood, the storm, came both to the wise man and to the foolish man. So you can understand why a storm would come to a foolish man, because they're always doing foolish things in terms of their relationship with God or their response to God or whatever. But the wise man is the wise man. And therefore, being a wise man, he's opened no door. Yet the flood came to his house too. Storms come both to the foolish and of the wise. That's important for you to understand. See, because if you don't realize that everybody experiences the verses I read to you, stormy times in their life, then you're going to personalize your storm. It's going to become about you. And then you're going to turn inward and you're going to do this. You're going to go, why is this happening to me? Why has God allowed this? What have I done wrong? What door have I opened? And when you do that, you've allowed the enemy to bring your identity into shambles. Because hear me, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Settle this forever. You are in right standing with God. Because you have Jesus' standing with God, the Father. You have His righteousness. And therefore, if you're entertaining thoughts like, why am I going through this? What have I done wrong? What door to the enemy have I opened? That's a good charismatic thing that we do. Then you're doubting your right standing with God. You're questioning your identity. And if the enemy can do that to you, then he can wear you out. Now, I know none of you have ever asked these questions when you've gone through stuff. I remember when this all started, I didn't think it'd keep going this long. And I don't really know what's coming. I'm believing for healing, because I'm a person of the Word, and I can't help but do that. You with me? But I'm not going to let the enemy mess with my identity. And it's not that he hasn't tried. You see, I'm obsessive. Some of you may not know that. Some of you should surely do. And so I'm an obsessive thinker. And so it's easy when you go through something you've never gone through before to obsess over, is this actually going to get better? What's my life going to be like if it doesn't? Is this what it's going to look like? And then you go through all this stuff, but I don't know any of those answers. I do know that I believe God's going to heal, because I can't help but do that because I'm a person of the Word. I don't understand it all, right? And everybody I've prayed for, everybody I've known who's had issues didn't get healed. God's goodness is not at stake, but I don't think I'm gaining any ground by changing my theology about all that, right? I want to close the gap. There's a place in Revelation 12:11 that says, this is how you overcome the enemy. We overcome the enemy. Now, everybody listen to me. If you've ever had a time when you need to overcome the enemy, it says you overcome the enemy because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of your testimony, and you love not your life unto death. Now, the first two we get easy. Because of what Christ did in the finished work of the cross, the enemy's been defeated. And the word of your testimony is that you believe that. And you're decreeing that and declaring that every step of the way, that that's true about you, that you are in Christ, and when He overcame at the cross, you were there in Him. He overcame sin. He overcame the enemy. You're in Christ. That's your testimony. But then the third thing is, and they love not their lives unto death. If what you covet more than anything else is your life, then you are a target for the enemy to just wear you out. If it's all about you and your quality of life and what your quality of life is going to be about and how this affects me, you're coveting your life, the enemy will wear you out. But if you don't covet your life, if you remember who you are and you remember what your purpose is, calling, which is to reveal Him, and you no longer covet your life, you love not your life even to death, that's the ultimate expression of surrender, then you get to wear Him out. You see, when He picked Peter up when he was sinking, they walked back to the boat on top of the water, stormy water, and Jesus is teaching him. And then when he got back in the boat, the storm, everything calmed down. Lesson taught. Storm has no authority. But Jesus was trying to teach them, trying to teach the boys, times are coming soon where there's going to be a lot of storms after His death and resurrection, a lot of persecution, a lot of issues, a lot of things going on. And you've got to learn how to walk supernaturally with your eyes on Me, be an overcomer. Interesting that every time Jesus was in a boat with the gods and there was a storm, He calmed the storm for them, not for Him, because He was calm in the storm. And that's what He's trying to teach them. That's what He's trying to teach us. You can be calm in the storm, but not if you aren't in that place where you don't love your life even unto death. We as Americans, as Westerners, are more prone to that enemy getting us that way because we value stuff and life and the American dream and the Western dream so much that it's easy for us to go to that place. What's the quality of my life going to be like? What's this going to happen? What's this going to be? How does this affect me? Don't we? It shows up in simple ways. Like maybe the storm that you're going through is a financial storm. You're thinking, what about my kids? They can't have the same thing other kids have, and that's not good. Really? Maybe not having those things that the other kids have is God's will for their life because He's doing something in them that you can't see, that maybe they can't even see, but has permanent eternal consequences. I mean, that's just an example. You see, when we find ourselves in storms and we start making all those questions, what happens with it's all about us is our faith is all about how to get through this. You know, what's the right thing to say? What's the right way to pray? You know, my faith is all about trying to get through this. When your faith should be about trying to not miss seeing who He is in you in this trouble. Because when Jesus showed up and they were all afraid in the boat, Jesus said, don't be afraid, I am. And He's saying that you want to know the truth about this situation? It's not this storm. I'm the truth here. And nothing about this storm has changed the truth about who I am and therefore who I am to you and in you. So our whole goal of faith isn't about having faith to get through this. Our whole goal of faith should be trying to not lose sight of who He is in us in the storm. And if that's your goal, then guess what's going to happen? Every step of the way in the storm, you're going to reveal Him, and that's your purpose. That's your calling. So did He give you the update with my doctor in Montgomery about him? He texted me and he tried to call, left a message and asked me if I could call him back. Calling him back, he just wanted to tell me that our encounter with him has turned his life around. But if it had been all about me laying on that floor for 5 hours, I'd have been griping my head off, complaining. But see, if you get this, what I'm saying, it doesn't matter if people don't treat you right because it's not about you. That's a storm, isn't it? It's about keeping your eyes on Him who lives in you in this situation. And He's the truth about this. And you can hear His word. And you step out on that word. What's that word? You just love them more. You step out on that word. As you walk that out, you become more Christ-like. Right? And then sometimes we'll say things like, one of the things the Lord told me middle of the situation. Because listen to me. I'm not preaching at you. I'm sharing my journey with you. In this new kind of storm, I've asked all these questions. The teacher is always a student. Who's not worth a flip as a teacher. And I have been a student, and sometimes not a great student in this process. I'm not used to being dependent on people to do all this. I lived for 40 years with someone dependent on me, and I took care of them. It's a weird feeling. It's caused me to miss Olivia, because I wish she was here for me to take care of her, and I could. It's made me appreciate because Olivia used to could walk, and with crutches, and before that, without crutches, only the last 15 years or so, I guess, She couldn't walk at all. I wonder if she laid in bed and watched scenes on TV and thought, man, it must be so awesome to just walk across the room like that guy did. I've thought those things. I've never had that feeling before. To apologize every time I have to ask somebody to do something for me, even though they tell me I'm glad to do it. That was the hardest thing Livia dealt with, was feeling like she had to depend on people. But I thought, so many times I thought, wow, I just watched something happen on TV or watched something going on and thought, will I ever do that again? Well, I believe I will. I don't mean to be overdramatic. But I never understood Livia had those kind of thoughts. Because she had known, even though it was hard walking, she had done that. What was it like when she couldn't drive again? I haven't been able to drive in 6 weeks. She had to have thought those thoughts. People get up, jump in her car and drive, and you go, I'll never get to do that again. Man, I wish that she was here so I could tell her I understood that part. It can't be all about you. That's self-destructive. And then sometimes we'll think, well, if I could just get closer to God, then all these situations would go away. That's an enemy telling you that. So I'm going to tell you what will happen as you draw nearer to Him. You can't get closer to Him. You're in Christ. And you're seated at the right hand. So if you just kind of turn and start having more conversations with the Father, like take advantage of the nearness, He's going to talk to you. He's probably not going to change the storm. He's going to change you in the storm. He's going to cause you to see different. And therefore, you'll see different in the storm. We're always wanting God to change everything, right? Americans particularly. But God wants to change us. That has eternal value. Overcomers, let me put it this way. When I this started about 2 weeks in, maybe 3 weeks in, and I realized this is weirder than anything I've gone through before with the back. And so I just made the statement. I said, Lord, the enemy's going to pay for this. And I knew what I was saying, but I didn't really realize what I was saying, but I knew what I was saying. I just didn't realize how big it was going to be. I think I've already seen the enemy pay for it in some ways. I think sharing with this with you, if it makes a difference in your life, is making the enemy pay for it. And we're going to all kinds of stuff. But I know this. Nothing's changed in this except for me. Thank God. Because if it weren't changing, see, because when you, in life as a Christian, you're always moving forward or you're drifting backwards. Hebrews talks about that. And there have been times when I've done a couple circles back, semicircles. But Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. He said that from a prison. And he had no idea if he was going to get out or not. Wedding Nero's decision about whether he was to die or not. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Remember I talked about the turnout. Paul said it twice. Well, things turned out for. You can know for sure if you're going to teach the lecture, you're going to do the lab. Because the faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. And I've learned in this even more than ever before. Jesus said this to me. He said, Chuck, I was struggling one day and just about how much trouble I was for everybody, just about how I missed just walking back and forth. I'm going to serve communion sitting on that today. That's something more normal. But just missed driving my truck, you know? I bought cowboy hat and cowboy boots. I want to put my cowboy hat, my cowboy boots on and drive my truck around. Now, I have an office at my house and a desk there. And so one of the things I started doing is when I got to where I was able to spend a couple of hours at that desk, you know, have a pillow behind me, I wear my cowboy hat when I spend time with Jesus, hoping that somebody who's working in my yard or walk by the window go, hey, cool cowboy hat. So my big box that holds the cowboy hat sitting in my bedroom. But the Lord was saying to me, I was just struggling, He said, Chuck, don't forget. Oh, He told me this is what He said. A couple of things, and then it will end. He said to me, He said, I believe in you, Chuck. And He said that to me in a moment when I was like going, oh, Lord, I'm just wobbling here. And He said, I believe in you. I said, you believe in me? And He said, yes, I believe in you because I know who you are far more better than you do. And then He said, now here, this is strange coming from me, but He said, Chuck, don't we forget we're in this together. I thought, wow. I would, if you had told me, asked me about Christ in me, I'd have said yes. But I realized I was dealing with it at times as if I'm in this situation trying to get through it, talking to Him, and had forgotten that He's in me walking through this situation. This morning when I was sitting there, we were worshiping, and I was looking up at the risen Christ we have. I never noticed the nail prints. Now the holes in His feet and His hands. Because I was telling the Lord, I said, Lord, as much as I had people helping me, it's been a lonely place. Storms are lonely, aren't they? Because no matter who you talk to, no matter what you say, no matter how they're praying for you, you're having to walk it out. And I said, and I was thinking about that, Lord, I just miss human touch. I've had human help. And he showed me. He said, that's why I'm showing you these scars. He said, I'm the human who's holding you and touching you. I'm the human, because he's still human. He's God in human. And those scars that I have, those are your scars. I bore your sorrow and your pain. And we're in this together. I'm in you. We're doing this as one. I can handle a backache, Chuck. I don't just have faith for this. He said, I have faith in this. Wow. That part he told me a few weeks ago. Faith to walk in the storm when the storm's not calm yet. I'm living by his faith. I was trying to live by my faith, and there's a lot of pressure in that. Have you ever noticed that? When you're trying to believe, because you think if you just believe, something's going to happen, but it's his faith. When he said, Jesus, if it's you, bid me to come, and Jesus said, come, Peter was walking in the faith of Christ. But the minute he got his eyes on the storm, he got in trouble. That's living from the outside in. And no place like a storm teaches you more about living from the inside out. He's my human touch. He's my human. I hope people understand, but there are some things when you go through stuff that people don't understand. And but Christ, the human God who lives in me, he didn't just have deity to walk me through. He has humanity who holds me on the inside as we walk through this. Now, don't feel sorry for me. This is not much suffering. A lot of people suffer a lot more than me. My wife is one of them. I don't feel sorry for myself. Remember, my middle name was W. Stands for wussy. That's right. And so this has been enough. But it's been a powerful time for me. And I am, and there's still more to go. But I'm here and I'm with you. And my journey is your journey. Amen. Love you all so much. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.